to play football for the Irish.
You're nuts.
Everybody told me that being a Notre Dame football player would be impossible.
You're 5 feet nothing, 100 and nothing.
You don't give up, do you?
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
Notre Dame is for smart kids. You're a warrior.
He's just a showboat. That's all he's about.
You got a warrior spirit. You're a fighter. You're a battler. And that's what gives you life.
How does it look?
You were born to wear that jacket.
All right, welcome back to Back to the Movies. It is almost the fall. I am your host, Ted Flint. I am always joined by Jake Voss and Sean Chantez Festman. We are Back to the Movies on the TailgateSociety.com and on your podcast app of choice, Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, and apparently Amazon. Getting those Bevos bucks, you know, that's good. Let's
beat the Bevos bucks.
Bevos bucks. Oh, fuck. Whatever. Fucking Cal from Texas owns Amazon. That's all I give a shit about. Same thing. Find us on the TailgateSociety.com. Sometimes we have written content there. Feel free to like us on your podcast app of choice. I don't even think it really fucking matters. I just know y'all. I know everyone loves us. So
review,
anyways.
Review and leave nice
Isn't that
comments.
What professional podcasters say? Like review and tell us how amazing
five
we are.
Star and comment and stuff like that.
This is our livelihood, obviously. Anyways, we're starving here, as you can tell from my physical attributes. Anyways, Back to the Movies is a podcast on the Tailgate Society Network, and Back to the Movies is a movie podcast, but where we watch a movie or rewatch a movie that we have not seen in a long time. And if you've been with us for years, you will know we used to do a podcast called Matinee Baseball, in which we watch sports movies. And somehow, in the 5 years we did that podcast, we never watched Rudy, which the dozens of garbage fucking movies we watched.
There's quite a few, yeah.
We didn't even watch. We haven't watched Hoosiers yet either, which also is directed by the guy who directed Rudy. Anyways, like I said, Back to the Movies is a podcast in which we revisit things and we get fresh takes. And it's football season in a few weeks. Go Bears! All right. So as always, we always start by spoiling the shit out of a movie in 90 seconds or less. So in case you're just here to listen to us have fun and talk and discuss a movie in which you have no interest in seeing, normally I make a wheel. But I had so much fun making the Plinko board last week that I decided to make something else. Let me turn around the computer screen here, guys. So, I mean, obviously no one else can see this but us, but I'm going to turn the computer screen around. Okay. As you can see, I have made three field goal-looking things out of PCP pipe.
Looking things.
Do you like the little stitching of cool. The little nets with your faces in them? With my nice. croquet needles, like little things. A little paper football. I'm going to kick the field goal paper towards the net. Their face it hits, that's who goes.
I'm sure this is okay.
Okay. What? All right. I can do this. I did this in like seventh grade. We can do this. All right. Ready? So, shit. Okay. I made a few of these. It's fine.
Did you even warm up?
No. I mean, if college kickers make it look so easy, right? This is my finger. All right. So, fuck.
I'm just going to practice that finger a little bit more.
Okay, well, you know, you're staring at me, and it's not just can you guys like look away?
A little shy?
Stage fright, huh?
All right, you know what? Glass houses. Okay. One more try, and I got it this time. If I miss it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Then what?
I don't know. The fuck? Goddamn. Hang on. All right, I knocked down Tez's goddamn field goal thing. It's his turn. He wins.
Oh boy, what an honor.
Well,
can't wait to hear this.
You know, I spent hours making that thing. And I just sometimes you get pissed off, and sometimes shit goes sideways, and sometimes you know your kicker that's placed for the Iowa State Cyclones, not anyone in particular. I'm just saying, our kickers hate. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna stop talking in case a certain kicker listens to us. Love you, Grant. All right, Sean, since I know from text message before you rewatched this that you said you loved this movie, I believe you watched it on your 75-inch projection screen, completely unplugged from the world with no distractions at all, no ads, etc. So, Sean, give us a very detailed 90 seconds or less, spoil the shit out of this movie.
Yeah, so it's, you know, really made a day of making sure to enjoy this feature film. The story follows Rudy Rudiger through his whole life from when he was a kid.
His family did not give him any breaks of that fucking name. Rudy Rudiger.
So we start when he's a kid, and you know, they give this whole backstory. Is the whole family, they're just huge Notre Dame fans. It's Notre Dame in their blood. It's what's the only team they watch. Blah blah blah. It's Rudy's dream to grow up and play football at Notre Dame. Then we just get a weird cut to him in high school, his senior year of high school, and the whole coach is giving the speech about, outside of like three of you that he names, none of you are ever going to play football again. You can tell Rudy's bummed.
Until you know you score.
And so, you know, it's they make it apparent that, you know, Rudy's just, he's a heart and soul guy, but he's just not an athlete. And then we just kind of skip that. Now he just works in a mill for 4 years. Then he's buddy, I don't remember his name.
Fucking killed his friend. Any of you guys remember that shit?
No, I did not at all. We'll get into a little more of that. But his buddy dies.
Toast, literally.
His buddy was the only one he thought really believed in his dream, thought he could do it. So he went to just up and left his entire life to go try to enroll overnight and play football at Notre Dame, which shockingly didn't work. He's got to go to Holy Cross or Holy Trinity or whatever, basically their little community college, to try and get in.
That 14 seed you pick every other March.
Yeah. Then, you know, he gets good grades, and he had never gotten good grades, and he gets into Notre Dame, and he gets to walk on to the team, and boy, it's what a story. And then his final game of his college career, we get the whole everybody's willing to not play. They want to give their jersey to Rudy because he deserves it, and he gets in and he gets to play a kickoff, and then the final play of the game, he gets a sack, he gets carried off the field. What an inspiration. His friends and family are in town. His old groundskeeper boss shows up. Well, not the brother,
that's fucking his ex-girlfriend. That guy's not there.
Yeah, he didn't make the trip. And, you know, you get the inspirational story, and it's some of it I get. We'll dive into this for sure. But, you know, really just a 2-hour movie about following your dreams. Even if you're dumb and not athletic, you still get to play college football. So
you get your teeth kicked in.
Nothing, 100 nothing pounds with no athletic skill, whatever that I said.
Yeah, Sean did a pretty good job of talking about that movie in 90 seconds or more. And Yeah, it's about a kid that wants to go play, and it's a good, fun story. Some of it may not be true, but it's still good. Like, it's still inspirational. It's still what it is. Yeah, and as always, we always start off the question, like, what is everyone's first memories of this movie? It came out the year Jake was born. I did not check the month to see if it was before or after his birth. I'm assuming before. It was like a May movie. Anyways, but yeah, the thing that like stuck out to me about this movie, like, I don't know the first memory I have of this movie. I just know, like, I just know Rudy's in my head. It's just there.
It's a fall. They released it in the fall. This was October 13.
I'm going to act as though I remember your birthday and not be a bad friend.
My birthday's in April. So I was, whatever, 5 months, 6 months old.
Yeah, you definitely saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
So yeah, so there's... It's just been around of all of our existence. Does anyone have like a particular memory, like attached to like the first time they saw Rudy?
Sure don't. I was.
Or was it?
I might have been an adult the first. No, I've watched the movie before, but I don't know if I've watched it more than once or twice. And it had been a long time. Like I said, yeah. I may have been like legally an adult the first time I watched this movie.
Yeah, I don't have anything specific for sure. It's kind of like you said, Ted. It was just Rudy was just there. Like, you just knew about Rudy. I know at some point as a kid, I watched it. I know even when we got into middle school and high school, there were a couple times, you know, we did some team meetings or whatever, and we sat down and we watched Rudy and just whatever. So it's, I've seen it. It's just...
what you can't see is Sean just did the apparently the salt and shaker pepper salt and check whatever he's shaking the pepper with his right hand. I just found out via text that Post Malone did a double album for the country thing and it distracted me. So eat a dick. Roll those a care.
Put your phone down, guy.
I was researching something for Rudy, and then Sean shaking the pepper. they made you watch this for football?
Than one time. Like, we would do
ultimate inspirational story. You're supposed to go out there and bash your head into a wall over and over.
Yeah, they would try and do like we're gonna cut practice short because we're gonna go do a little film, and then we're gonna watch Rudy. And it's just like, can I just leave? Can I go home? Like. I obviously have thoughts about this movie. It's one that I have never thought it to be everything it's crocked out to be, but I get why people do.
Well, I think in general the movie and the story and the idea, I mean, obviously the whole story is very embellished. There's lots of it that's embellished. Right. It's come out over the years that people who were a part of it and everything have talked about it. But the story in general, or the idea of the story, is great. Somebody like, I was never overly talented or anything, but I love playing football just to do it. And not that I was Rudy that was 5 foot tall and way underweight or whatever, just getting my ass beat all
how
the time.
How tall do you think Rudy is? Does anyone actually know how big this fucker is?
I mean, I would guess he's probably actually like my height, if we're being honest.
It says
that's a really short. Like, I'm really short. If you're gonna say somebody's like playing college football, so
I do have his Wikipedia pulled up. It says he's 5'6", 165.
Yeah, like he was small, but or like weight wise, he was small. But,
Tom Cruise, right there. My height.
Yeah, I get the appeal.
Like, I get
to
the story.
Like,
the story's fun, and I can semi relate to some of it. It's just the Notre Dame and the real.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest things with it is like, and I understand
devout
that's
commitment.
Some of the hugest fans are obviously Notre Dame fans, and that's probably a decent chunk of why I'm good with never watching this movie ever again. I hate Notre Dame. I hate everything Notre Dame. I don't want that team to win at anything ever. Despise them. So
tell us what you really think.
It takes a lot out of it. There's not many teams on this planet that if the Iowa Hawkeyes were playing them, I would cheer for Iowa, and Notre Dame is definitely one of them. I fucking hate Notre Dame.
That's a
hypothetical
situation that I've never thought of in my brain.
I just always have despised Notre Dame. I know my dad doesn't like them, so I know part of it comes from there, but
show me on this doll when Notre Dame touched you.
Yeah, there's a lot of conversations being had around that. Probably don't need to happen.
Yeah. So like the girlfriend was like, well, do you like Notre Dame? Cause she doesn't know anything about sports. I'm like, well, I don't like them, but I don't hate them. They're just there. Like,
yeah. I think my thing with Notre Dame is Notre Dame has the thing, like, it goes so far as like, so the dad, like Rudy's dad is like, the whole family is just committed. Notre Dame is like that's what they watch. Like, there's solely committed, like that's the only thing that matters when as far as football goes. But he'd never even somehow ever went to the stadium or been to a game.
In my head, I thought they lived in Pittsburgh, so that made more sense. Like, I'm watching this movie, I'm like, they're in Joliet, like that's 2 hours away, that's or whatever, like they're in Chicago.
But like, I even if they were in Pittsburgh, I don't know, like that blows my mind to be like, the most important thing outside of like work and making sure that the family is okay
and
is Notre Dame
like
football,
were
but I've never ever been to a fucking game. Like,
so right, Rudy's getting paid minimum wage, and he's getting paid $5.15, right? That's what the fortune tells him. And one kid says $20 for a ticket at one point. So dad could have got a ticket for 5 hours of work. I don't know if dad's making no, but it's probably more than $5. At one point,
they say, you know, he makes a comment about, you know, Rudy wants him to come to a game if he ever, or just to go to a game because, you know, it's so special and it's so cool. Yeah. And his dad makes a comment of, I watch it on TV, that's all I need, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, come on, man. Like, you don't even have it in you. Like, you don't want to go, but yeah, you're the world's biggest Notre Dame family. Like,
only one team we watch in this house.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of the dad, I want to go through a ranking of people in this
shittiest
movie. That are shittiest people in the movie.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to toss them out. The dad. Got the dad. We got the teacher.
Dad's who, not last.
Teacher who just straight up wouldn't let him on the bus, calls him a piece of shit.
Pulls him aside.
That guy sucks ass pretty hard. Yeah,
don't be a dreamer. Brother Frank.
Yeah, his brother, I think.
Brother John, who fucks his ex-girlfriend in a town of thousands of people. Not like it's a small town. Juliet's pretty big.
I'm laying it right now. The brother that doesn't turn until the end of the movie is the shittiest person in this movie.
Okay, Frank. All right. Who else we miss him? Got the coach, the new coach.
Yeah, Dan Devine.
Dan Devine.
Which I think is hilarious when you research this movie. He was apparently like, he's the one that let Rudy play. He's like, let Rudy play. He supported it. But because he liked Rudy, he said, you can make me the villain in the movie. That's a fucking stand-up, dude. Like, make the world hate me.
Oh, yeah. They said there's apparently stories that, like, it wasn't going to get greenlit. Like, they weren't going to make the movie unless the coach was a dick to do it. And he's like, yeah, man, go for it. Make me the asshole. So, way to take one for the team, man.
Okay. So I think that's it. Am I missing any real big pricks in this movie?
I don't think particularly. I mean, you don't even get a staple. Like, one guy on this football team is just an asshole.
Well, you got that Jamie player, but he ends up throwing the last touchdown. But
that Jamie player.
Like, he's like, you're going too hard at practice. You're making us all look, you know. And he's like, all right, now you're off the third string. You're on the practice squad.
Yeah.
Don't look up who that actor is, because that's a question later. Don't look it up.
I already know. That's why I said that Jamie player.
Well, I was going to see if you guys caught him or if you already knew going into it.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. It will be my answer to that question later, but I saw it in the credits.
I knew it was him, but like, I don't know if I would have pegged it as him if I was just watching. I don't think I would have caught it if I didn't know that. All right. You caught about like knowing it. He was in the movie. Okay, all right. Well, you win. All right. So, earliest memory.
I'm the winner. Carry me off the field.
We're going to discuss that part. And Joe Montana at some point in this podcast. Don't let me forget. So,
I said Joe Montano.
So this movie, like, so starts off, he's in school. The Catholic preachers, teachers are all a piece of shit. Then his buddy dies, which any member of his buddy getting just cooked? Any of you two?
No.
So yeah, when I was watching it, like, the build up to that scene. I was just handing food out.
These fries are gonna fry.
But like, the build up to that, where he's just, you know, there's no pressure in the pipe, there's no blah blah blah, and I was sitting there just going, they're not gonna kill him, are they? Like, I don't think, I don't remember this, and like, somewhere in my head, I get, and again, I don't know why, because I never really paid attention.
I had no memory of this at all.
For some reason, I thought like maybe one of his family members died at some point, but I didn't know. I don't remember it being anything in the mill, especially not his best friend. But it definitely caught me off guard. I stared intently, just going, just I don't think they're gonna kill him.
Massive
right?
explosion, like, the body shoots out, it's on fire as it falls away from the thing. That stuntman got some fucking extra pay for that shit. And he leaves the next day. But also, Rudy's best friend dies. He's on the bus stand. His dad like shows up and goes, "Hey, bud, hey, your grandpa had a dream.
Fucking killed a bunch of cows. Ruined lives. Yeah,
Danny ruined our family. But go ahead, good.
Wild.
Go chase it.
Yeah, it's I had
his I like met. His dad is not the worst person in the movie to me, but he sucks ass pretty hard too for a while. Like,
it's my only note about that was his dad's being kind of a dick, but he's kind of right. Like, this exact moment maybe isn't the perfect timing to just run off to Notre Dame. Like, you know, it's right after your best friend dies, maybe, and like he has the conversation with his girlfriend about like, we've been saving the money to get this house and get married, and he's just like, nope, gotta go to Notre Dame. I'm 24 now and this dream is dying because
maybe
his I have to play college football.
Should spend less time crushing Rudy's dreams and more time telling John not to fuck Rudy's ex-girlfriend.
I have notes about that whole scenario too.
All right, we're gonna get there in a second. So then Rudy goes to Notre Dame, and
he tries to go to Notre Dame.
Yeah, yes. Rudy takes a Greyhound bus overnight. He
walks up to
at 2 a.m. walks up to a guard stand and says, "Where's the admissions building?"
All right, and let's use that as a segue into what is something from this movie that you do not remember was from this movie.
Mine's from way, 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 way later in the movie. I didn't know it was from this movie.
Is it a huge spoiler? Is it the clap?
Yeah, it's the clap.
Jesus. Okay.
I mean, in his defense, it is almost literally the last shot of the movie.
There's two gifts from this movie, and we'll save that clap for that question.
I don't know if there was anything specifically that hit me that I didn't remember being from the movie, as far as like parts that I just straight up don't remember about the movie. You know, it's, I think Pete blowing up should be a gif that should be used more often, but
Jesus Christ. There is something that I thought should be a gif. Now I can't remember how it was, but yeah.
Well, you reacted like you had a specific thing that
they didn't.
Didn't remember
I'm,
that.
You I'm just gonna use it. I'm just gonna use this as like a segue in the fact that I couldn't believe that like a good 35 minutes of this movie is him at Holy Cross. Like,
yeah, I definitely
like, I did not remember that at all. I thought like
him, got him like making grades like semester after semester.
In my head,
not gonna be accepted. Yeah,
the priest, whatever the fuck guy, Catholic priest.
Yeah, priest.
Penis diddler. Said he said that you could go to Holy Cross and still be on the practice team. So in my head, he had like 4 years on the practice team, not two.
I don't think that's what he said.
No, in my head, like he.
Oh, that's what you thought.
Okay, yeah, like he's at the community college while also playing for the team.
Yeah, okay.
Not just 4 years of him hanging out with John Favreau at a community college.
Did not remember Favreau being in the movie.
I definitely knew he was in this movie because he's.
Also, didn't like. It's been semi recently that I really, really recognized who Favreau was. So that's on me. But
he's also in Deep Impact.
I think if you would have asked me, like, I remember like Favreau's character, but if you would have asked me, like, who played him, like, before I had watched it, I don't think I would have came up with John Favreau. It's obviously. When you watch it, it's obviously John Favreau.
Oh, yeah.
Like he looks wildly different, right. But I just didn't remember him being in the movie.
So speaking of him real quick, and since we all like we cross generational divide, when you think of John Favreau, what's the first movie for you guys?
Man, I don't know. It obviously wasn't always like this, but anymore, like he's just. He's obviously in so many of the fucking Marvel movies anymore. That's
it's in my brain pretty heavy. He appears in
it's Swingers for me. And I have not watched Swingers in 2 decades, but I kind of assumed it might be him in 51st Dates. Like I figured like that might
the MCU stuff is really what like solidified him in my brain and made me realize who he was. And then now going back and watching things, I'm like, oh yeah, like.
He shows up in a bunch of stuff. Like he's just in random.
I like Favreau a lot, and
yeah,
like now I very much recognize it when I see him. But yeah, it's all the MCU stuff for me. That's why I say it's more recent, like history for me that he's solidified in my brain, and I recognize him now.
I meant to look up if this is his first movie or not, but he's great in this movie. By the way, as JB or Joby, what the hell is his dad's nickname in this?
D-Bob.
His name was Dennis or something like that. Anyway,
it's also I'm going to use this opportunity while we see what movie started was first. You should all watch Chef. He's great in Chef.
Swingers, Green Street Hooligans.
He is not in Green Street.
He's not in. That's producer credit. Sorry.
Anyways, good shit. He's awesome. So then he's at Holy Cross for a good 35 minutes. Gets shot down for so many. Like, at what point is, like, would you guys just give up at that point? Like, I mean, I understand this movie, like, about Rudy not giving up.
But yeah, yeah, I mean,
the whole thing is, like, very, like, it's kind of the point of the story, and I don't know. I would assume a lot of the like grade stuff is not, and like a lot of that is like pretty true, and him just having to commit to it for that long and doing whatever it takes to be able to do it. But like that premise of the story in itself is pretty ridiculous. Like, it's not the way that a lot of the people in his life went about telling him to not do it was shitty, but they weren't exactly wrong either. Like, it's not. So it's this not is usually a wise decision to like commit yourself to like going to community college for the salt while being like poor and doing what you have to do to find somewhere to sleep, to like just to try and get admitted to Notre Dame, just to walk onto the football team, just to try and like get a spot on one for one game at some point.
Like, yeah, it's so like the whole idea of the movie, the plot, the premise, all of it is one that, like, I think I was a little over halfway through, because that's kind of the same thing. I kept checking. I kept checking the time, and I'm just like, I'm not positive there's actually football in this movie anymore, because there's not a lot of time left. But as you know, as they're going through, and yeah, you hit these plot points of him doing, you know, getting into Holy Cross, and then he's doing. Getting all these rejection letters, but he's getting decent grades. I'm just sat there. I'm just like, if this wasn't like what an actual, like based on a true story, nobody would watch this and like love it, because it doesn't make any sense. Like, you would go, there's just no way. Like, yeah, it's just the reason you're doing this doesn't make sense. And also you couldn't make grades in high school, but now you're doing great at community college, and then for two years at Notre Dame.
They mentioned he has dyslexia, and if you go to his Wikipedia page, they say that like he got diagnosed at Holy Cross and then gotten some meds, and like they like that basically like helped him be better. So,
which is a major thing, like
yeah,
but it's just, still the premise is still fucking insane, like.
Right, it feels like a movie made in the 70s, but made in the 90s. Like, it feels like a 70s or 80s movie. Like, we're going to, like, take our time.
You know, I for sure at one point, like, I had to go look up when it came out, because I'm just like, was this made in, like, the middle of the 80s? Like, I'm pretty sure it was not, but I'm just like, it feels very 80s. Like, just the way it goes along, and it's good. It's in some of the things they do, but it's just, it is a weird little.
So, all right. Yeah. So,
I guess time capsules.
So we're skipping over the part where he becomes a groundskeeper assistant with Fortune.
Yeah.
Who is an actor I should know off the top of my head. And right now it is escaping me.
Which I don't understand how he wasn't fired from that job over and over again.
Oh yeah. Charles Dutton. Yeah. He's good shit.
I don't know where I would recognize him from, most notably.
Probably the GIF. Very...
I recognize him outside of
so that. I love the part where like Fortune catches him unlocking the window and knows he's sneaking in there, and he's like, leaves the key. And he's like, thanks for the key.
Getting a key. Yep.
And he leaves the key, and he's like, I don't know about any keys. Like, no, who left? He's like, how about you shut the fuck up?
Like, I told you I don't know anything about that.
Like, are you the stupidest short motherfucker in the world? Like, just snitches get stitches. Enjoy the free bed. So, also, how terrible have been sleeping on that cot with no blanket, no pillow the first, like, however many days he was there?
Couldn't be comfortable, but...
I feel like he probably put up with a lot of uncomfortable stuff for a while.
Also, drunk Rudy doesn't know how to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, I mean, what a fucking moron, dude.
Yeah, he gets signed up for the like fake ID and gets signed up for the Spirit Squad or whatever the hell they call it. And then
attractive girl talking to him in the Spirit Squad about how they should hang out afterwards. And he's like, oh, by the way, I don't go here.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna make grades and get enrolled and be on the football team next year.
I'm not one of the stereotype steel workers. I just feel like they have a better tolerance than what Rudy showed in that scene. I'm just saying. Hey, like, man, those motherfuckers can drink.
5'6", 165. Well, yeah, I mean, I know people that size.
Yeah, I just, it's, man, Rudy, what a fucking dumb. That big is dumb, a, animal. Yeah, small dumb animal. If you're, again, if you're this big of a Notre Dame fan in the world, like, isn't, like, the next best thing behind being on the team, being the guy who gets to paint the helmets, like, isn't that supposed to be cool? Then yeah, you blow it right away by going, hey, I don't even go here.
Also, maybe we're just spoiled by Jack Trice field, but man, they do a shitty job. That field looks like shit whenever they're walking on it, but you know, that's just me. You get on that groundskeeping
crew. It's, well, and I mean, this was part of, yeah, I don't know how Rudy lasted as long as he did when it's Fortune's trying to get stuff done and he's standing on benches trying to give speeches in a locker room, an empty locker room. He's recapping yesterday's game by running down the field and running into people. Get this kid out of here.
He's like just peak golden retriever energy. Just peak.
Yeah, it's
all right. So we're losing track of the string here before we get too far in this thing. So at some point, I think we're already past it. Rudy goes home for Christmas. And
yeah,
after first semester, right? I mean, it'll still be his first semester wise. So he's already getting the job. So he goes back for Christmas. And his dad's just like, oh, cool, you didn't make it. How about you come home then? Like, I'm glad you got three B's and an A.
I'm glad you got decent grades, whatever. Like
what are three B's and an A? That's like a 3.25 GPA. Like that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Good math.
Was it right?
Yeah.
You know, I used to fake making my report cards that last year of high school. I know that off the top of my head. Back before they got computer systems and too bad for the youths of America. No more hiding that shit. Anyways, and like, hey, we find out his dad's just like, cool, so you failed. And Rudy's like, well, no, I just haven't succeeded yet.
Yeah.
And then John shows up.
Just walks in the door.
And his shitty brother's like, hey, John, you gonna say hi to Rudy?
Frank just throws him under the bus immediately.
Frank's like, hey, brother. John, who's with you there?
What a fucking asshole.
All right. So
I hate that guy. Sorry.
Just you really hate Frank.
I hate him.
All right. So just so we're clear, Frank's an asshole. John's an asshole. The ex-girlfriend can date whoever the hell she wants. But the brother probably should have been like this. Maybe just make a phone call. Hey, I've been hanging out with Jolene.
That was my thing is I'm just like,
a letter.
This is weird. There hasn't been any communication between Rudy and this girl. Like, it was apparently just a full break it off. Never talk again.
19-year-old me dated my buddy's ex-girlfriend. I at least called him and said, hey, I think I've been hanging out with so-and-so for a little bit. Do you care if I pursue that? Like, that's all it takes.
But also, like, Rudy left, right? He just leaves out of the
blue. He left her. She was like, we should buy this out.
Yeah, no, it's not about that. But it's like, they're all just like expecting him to fail and just settle and come back, right? But then they also at the same time do that.
Right.
You're gonna take his girlfriend. What kind of like, oh yeah, Rudy's gonna like he'll get fed up with like sucking and come back soon. But we're also gonna just like move on and I'm gonna start dating.
What do they think they did of his presence that year? Because I don't think Rudy came back for presents. I just wanna know, like, we know Rudy drinks. Like, I feel like he would have went and like just drank a god awful amount of alcohol somewhere on Christmas Eve in South Bend. Like, just poor Rudy. And John and Frank are just pieces of shit.
And Frank actually gets worse in this movie before things get, I guess, a little better. Because yeah, when they're playing, is it pool or shuffleboard or whatever in that bar? And
he's all right,
like, and he goes, "Yeah, you're not on the fucking team. What are you talking about?
Ain't nobody seen you." This shuffleboard scene annoyed the shit out of me. Have they never played the game before? Because they're just whipping those fucking discs down the goddamn.
They were ripping the pucks down the board like.
Was there no one in the crew? It's like, hey, I've actually played this game at my local bar.
Yeah, I definitely noticed the fact that they were just ripping the pucks, but that was not something that I was going to get annoyed about.
Also, there was no sand on that board, so they were throwing those fuckers down a dry ass board, and no one likes anything that dry. Anyway, so that's right. So he finally makes it to Notre Dame after four tries. And like an hour and 15 minutes into this less than 2 hour movie.
Yeah, it's a lot.
All right. So real quick, I have another question, but we're going to get final off the actual question board. Sure, let's just do a famous actor in a small role. Let's just toss it out. Anyone got an answer for that one? Dix?
I mean, I didn't notice it during the movie like apparently Jake did. But yeah, it's Vince Vaughn for sure.
I didn't notice him the first time he showed up. But I think it was the second time he showed up on the screen when they were like outside and the lineman was like tried to like apologize to Rudy and Rudy's like, "No, dude, like I'm going to keep coming at you and your job is to kick my ass."
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that was the second time Vince Vaughn showed up and I recognized him there.
No, he's the running back. So he shows up in the scene where he talks shit. Yeah, right. He's behind him. He's behind the big lineman, like you said. He's laying on the car. I thought that was after he like got pushed on the practice squad.
Huh?
You're probably right.
No, it's literally like after the montage of Rudy like getting his ass beat and like trying over and over and over and whatever, but it's the scene the lineman like cuts away from Rudy finally after like Rudy is basically knocked out on the ground and he gets picked up. And then the next play, the guard is like cuts away from him and goes straight to the linebacker and doesn't hit Rudy. And the coach like rips his ass. And then after that practice, the lineman like goes up to him and is like, "Hey, like I'm sorry for what's happening in practice, but like you gotta stop, you're gonna die." And Rudy's like, "No, this is my job, and your job is to kick my ass." And yeah, Vince Vaughn's behind him and says something about showing off.
Rudy's definitely a masochist, and that's fine. We don't kink shame on this podcast. But also, how much would you have hated going against Rudy every day at practice?
That would be awful, man. There's a fucking try hard like that. Get out of here.
Like, I remember in high school football, there's some players who were good and they were on varsity. Like we were on varsity, but like just didn't know how to take it off, take a break, and like just run the fucking play.
Yeah,
and I would get so frustrated with them.
I think high school is one thing, and he may have been that. I mean, he was probably that guy on the high school team, but when you're talking about like him going versus like actual starting Notre Dame linemen,
all American,
like, they don't give a shit. They can pancake him as he, like every play. Like he's not actually like hurting them. I don't think they care. I think they're just
of course they're not. He's not hurting them. They wait there twice as size.
That's what I mean. Like they're not annoyed by him. They're just like. Like that guy, like he says, he's like, "Dude, you're gonna die if you like keep doing this because I have to kill you every play."
Yeah, I think the people at the end of the day it's most annoying for is that other guy who was a walk-on because his dad played there and he's just like,
"All right,
let's
talk about that dude." That dude failed at everything he did in his entire life. And then a movie and he's like, "I wish you were out there with me." He's like, "I don't." Like, what does that man go on to do? Like,
it's nothing. Live off whatever. Go work at his dad's car dealership the rest of his life.
Yeah, that's like a sad story. It's like you're just doing what your dad wants you to do.
Talking about how he should have gone to the two Big Ten schools.
Yeah, instead of doing what you wanted to do and probably could have been successful at.
So is the implication there at the end that he takes his spot on the team? The last game, like that guy
no,
made
no.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that guy was no, was the implication never gonna at the see
end,
the field.
Yeah, the implication at the end of that is he's like, hey, you did what the rest of us probably should have been doing. Like, you forced them and everyone to like you and got yourself on the field.
Yeah, because he even makes a comment at one point. You know, obviously he has the comment about he's only there because his dad was an All-American and his dad's paying his tuition because he's a walk-on. And he says, you know, maybe I am a little bit bought into the idea that I'll get a run out that tunnel one day.
Yeah.
But he's also complaining about how Rudy's doing too much in practice, making him all look bad.
Yeah, so, he's also not committed to actually working hard enough to do it. So
he's dreaming about that scholarship to Illinois.
Also, real quick, we mentioned Vince Vaughn.
He was going.
Vince Vaughn is in this in a small role. So the original priest that he talks to in this has been a bunch. Guy? He's been a bunch of shit.
I definitely recognized him, but I couldn't tell
was
you.
Was this
like,
the one I looked up? The one, the guy that's in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
He's the TV network executive or something on Mrs. Doubtfire.
The original priest that he talks to is definitely in a bunch of shit. I think Mr. Doubtfire, I can't find him right now. Oh, there he is. Robert Prosky. That's a very Polish name.
Prosky.
He's in Broadcast News, Dead Man Walking.
I know those words.
Dudley Do Right. We're all big Dudley Do Right fans here, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, he's just a that guy, like The Chamber, Mad City, Scarlet Letter, Mrs. Doubtfire, he's Mr. Miracle on 31st Street. Like, he got some shit. That's my guess. That's my vote. No Vince Vaughn. That guy is the actor in a small role.
Okay, but the correct answer is Vince Vaughn.
Yes, the correct answer.
I don't know if you get much of a better answer for a movie of a major actor in a small role than Vince Vaughn in this movie.
Okay. What's your fair quote for the movie? I mean, I think we all have the same answer probably, but what's a?
Oh man,
I got two, but go ahead.
I forgot to write them down because I was at work. I don't remember. There were a couple that I thought were going to.
You're out there frying food didn't. Like Rudy's friend.
Yeah, it was. I don't know that.
I mean, it's probably the 5 foot nothing, right?
Yeah, it's Fortune's 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing, without an ounce of athleticism, and you hung in there with the best college athletes and the football players in the world, or whatever he says.
Or the dad once again showing how kind of shitty he is when he walks in to fucking whatever the hell Notre Dame plays in the stadium, and says, "This is the most glorious sight these eyes have ever seen." With his son standing right beside him.
Yeah.
We understand Frank is a shitty person, probably a shitty son, but still, in front of your child being like, I have never seen something so beautiful than this moment right here.
It's the best moment of my life.
Might cause some therapy if it wasn't the 70s and they didn't believe in that shit yet.
Yeah. He's obviously already fucked up by something, so.
Yeah. Rub some dirt on that mental health. All right. Anything hasn't aged well?
I don't know. I mean, it's set in the 70s. So. Like, I don't think there's anything that goes like way out of, I don't know, where it's like abrupt and doesn't fit and wouldn't be in there today, probably.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything bad necessarily that would be
maybe just like line. the pace is like
I mean, if you were remaking the movie, I don't know that you could get a 2-hour movie like that and do
I mean, if you're gonna talk about something like that, like the whole you way shorten up the community college part and add to whatever the connecting part going into Notre Dame and at Notre Dame. But that's not usually something that I classify for.
No, not at all. Like, That's what I was going to say. I lost it. So I'll let you guys talk for a second. It wasn't important, obviously.
Yeah, I'm just, I have the movie on again. I'm just getting to the part when they walk out of that practice and the big ass offensive lineman's like, hey, man, like, hey, you can keep walking though. I'm talking to Rudy or whatever he says. I'm not talking to you. You keep walking.
Sean Astin, as an actor, has just insane, like, he's not like insanely famous, no. Right? But most people know, I think a lot of people know who he is. Just three iconic movie roles.
Well, I shouldn't say, I'm not going to say everybody, but after Lord of the Rings, like, fucking everybody knows who Sean Astin is.
Goonies.
Well, I'm saying if you didn't already, like, I mean, Goonies is old.
Wow.
It is.
I mean, it is.
It's cool.
Goonies cool. is fucking old, man.
Words like, hurt. Just keep stabbing me. Words hurt. It's fine.
Like, there's people that are my age that would, can we stop? Would not have known. I'm just telling you, like, after Lord of the Rings, like, that's the, and then there's people that are probably like, whatever, like 20 to 25 that are like, I know him from Stranger Things or whatever. Like, God, I don't know him from Lord of the Rings.
Go so angry. Spoiler alert. Killing Bob in season 2 of Stranger Things will always piss me off. Fucking Bob deserved better.
It's a good thing not that many people listen to this. I don't think that was enough of a spoiler alert, but anyway.
I mean, anyway, rest in peace, Bob. Sure glad that Joyce got Hopper, who's a piece of shit in season 3. Anyways, she also stayed dead.
Yes. Oh my God. Jesus Sean Astin Christ. Has so many acting credits.
He's in 51st Dates. Like, he just shows up random.
Yeah, I forgot. I mean, I knew that, but I wasn't even thinking about that.
Wait, that's why I got confused. I got him and Favreau confused with 51st Dates. Is Favreau also in 51st Dates? I think Sean Astin.
You said that, and I didn't remember Favreau being in it. But it's
Sean Astin is the hopped up brother in that. Yeah.
I got.
No,
Favreau's in Replacements.
Oh, that's right.
He's the linebacker. Yeah,
that's a good fucking movie. Jon Favreau, man, like, just I understand, like, he's young as shit in this movie. Like, he just doesn't look like Jon Favreau, and that's what, like, I throws me off in this movie. Like,
yeah,
just
he's
like
a little bit of a. It's definitely an interesting look for
the way
Jon
he
Favreau.
Carries himself. Like, he has he's all shoulders.
Well,
in
they
this
have
movie.
To. They have to. Like, this role. Like, I made a note. I was like, wait. So Favreau's supposed to be like the nerdy, no charisma, can't talk,
right, super shy
person.
Yeah, because
that is not like they. I, he does it okay, like they somehow make him do it okay, but that's not like Jon Favreau. So,
yeah, I did love how like that he gets the deer in the headlights scene where like the girl's talking to him and he just can't talk, and he's like, yes, of course he's in, yeah, why not?
Yeah, no, we know about that.
Yeah, yes, he would, a couple of those
or whatever.
Where Rudy's just stopping random girls they're walking past. And he's like, oh, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, no, keep moving. No, just don't talk to anybody.
Rudy definitely has that golden retriever energy. So, yeah, like, and Jon Favreau is a fucking treasure. Sean Astin's a treasure. It sucks that, like, Sean Astin hasn't done much since Stranger Things season 2. But, you know, I'm sure he has money from the Lord of the Rings movies.
At this point, like, what he can do or not do, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think he's.
I'd probably just mostly ride off into the sunset if I was him too.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to that. Let's get to the nitty gritty of this movie. I think we're just gonna combine any Goosebumps moment with best part of the movie. I feel like, unless you don't feel like those are the same part.
I mean,
or favorite part of the movie, like,
yeah, I mean, I think to an extent they're basically all intertwined. It all comes down to Rudy getting on the field, right? And then if you want to do the I guess it's how much you want to kind of break that up, because you have the
crescendo from him quitting and getting the speech. So like that part of the movie to the end, I think if that's on TV, I'm watching it. Like if I see him.
I think I would agree with that in general. He says he's going to quit because he doesn't make the roster list for the game.
Also, trying to explain to my girlfriend practice squad scholarship limit players was a fun.
Well, that's even so different. Like that's old and like way different than like even 20 years. It's different from even 20 what it was 20 years right. ago. Like yeah. So it's just way different. But so from the time that he realizes he doesn't make the roster list to he shows up and gets the speech because he's just standing there, which is interesting. I don't know. Fortune sees him and is like,
"Oh, he's quitting." That
speech. Yeah, he's like,
he wanted to tell Fortune, "I'm done. Like, I'm fuck this shit."
But so that part's okay. But then for me, the whole like he goes back and like runs out and gets a slow like, "Oh, it's Rudy," and gets a
the big lineman,
and I was like, "All right, like."
It's the cheesiest shit on the planet.
And then you roll into the game and the game playing out. And like,
if you don't get,
let's not forget the entirely made up everybody gave.
I'm gonna fight you, Tez.
Buddy, you thought that was anything other than cheesy as all hell.
I don't care if it's fucking cheesy. It still gets to me. You can say it's cheesy and it still gets me.
That part did not work.
I don't care how. Oh my God, this is for Rudy. For Rudy, you're an All-American. You're the captain of the team. You need to act like one.
Didn't happen. I think I am. That.
Don't give a shit.
And that's here's the thing. There was even a brief.
No one
second
saw
today.
Fucking Frodo throw that ring in the goddamn fire. But we all get happy.
That's
that
not supposed
moment.
To be real events, Ted.
Yeah.
Either is this.
Depends on who you ask.
There's a way to do it where, when that first guy gives up his jersey and he does do the "you're an All-American," you're
that was good. That was good.
And he says, "I am." There's a way to maybe end it there or do a little something there and make it work. But then just doing a fucking conga line,
man, dude. No, the music ramps up. They keep on walking. This is for Rudy. For Rudy, coach.
So the only thing I could think.
Oh my God, goosebumps! Pessimistic motherfucker.
The first guy was good, but after they kept coming in, and I knew this is how it went, but I hadn't watched it in so long and then thought about it. The only thing I could think of is all the guys like getting ready and organized to stand outside the office with their jerseys. They're right. This is what we're gonna do. We're right. gonna walk in one at a time.
Are you motherfucker?
And we're gonna lay them on Dan Devine's desk and tell him that this is for Rudy.
Yeah, what are they all gonna do? If on the first guy he goes, yeah, okay. Like then you just got 30.
We
guys
did it, guys. Everybody, let's go.
So all right. So fuck you. Also, that's amazing goosebumps. So the game happens. He runs out. His dad shows up. J-Bo shows back up, which is awesome as shit. Did
T-Bob,
I miss
J-Bo? J-Bo, whatever.
Fucking
do not insult John Favreau by calling him J-Bo.
Thanks for the memes. One for 18 shooting. Anyways, so did I miss the part where John Favreau is a rich motherfucker? Like, because he showed up.
So they say he's going to Miami to law school.
Yeah.
So I would imagine, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it kind of makes sense.
Rich? I mean, we have lawyers that protect us on this podcast.
No, but
shit.
he very much is like portrayed as like super smart and going to be successful. So it's not surprising that like in a year or whatever it's supposed to be that he goes down there and is like probably working at a law firm and making money.
He might be my favorite person character in this movie. He's just good. I'm a sucker for a good friend. You know I am. Like a good friend. Like, and like, who's
and
the wild man now? I guess you're showing. You know, like,
yeah.
It's a little bit implied, obviously, that, you know, he's got some money because he has the drive, you know, they get dropped off and he's dressed. He has a nice coat and everything. But he does tell the driver, he goes, I'll get you on the way back. I don't have my wallet with me.
That is true. That is true. That is a line. He does say that.
So, all right. I fucking love the Jersey scene. You guys have no souls. Anyway, so we get to the game and he runs out. His dad's there. He throws shade on Frank, who deserves all of it. Because fuck Frank. And they're up like 10-7, right? And an interception return, 17-3. This part I love. And I'm sure it's all completely fucking made up. I don't give a shit. Jamie, Vince Vaughn, like, the crowd's chanting for Rudy.
There's like 40 seconds left in the game or whatever.
Yeah, and the coach is like, because they fumbled the ball, so they're back on offense, right? Yep. And the coach is like, just kneel it out, kill the clock. And Jamie, the halfback who got pushed on the practice squad, decides to just show up and like, fuck this shit. We got to score for Rudy.
He's like, nah, like, Rudy can't get on the field if we're playing offense, so we got to go for it.
I'm getting goosebumps right fucking now. We're going to do a halfback pass. Fuck the coach.
Somehow, don't realize they haven't lined up in victory formation. Lined up in the power eye. And then it's not until the ball snapped. They're like, oh, shit, what's going on? It's, come on. This is terrible coaching. It sounds like a bad anyway, but
hey, Dan Devine came from Green Bay. Yeah, how dare you?
Yeah, they put a fuck you touchdown on the board. Rudy goes out on kickoff return. And he's like, what do I do? And the one coach that has back for is like, no, just stay out there.
Stay in the game.
See, and this is where I will give the movie some credit.
And
when he gets on the field and he does, you know, the kickoff and they just, you know, they show him running down the field, but obviously show D-Bob and his family just going fucking nuts.
Who's the wild man now? Yeah,
and all his teammates going nuts. And I think probably my favorite part of the movie is that in between where they have to stay out on defense and he's halfway back to the sideline. He's just like, what do I do? And they're just like, stay out there, dude. It is. So if it wasn't for the fact that it is actually what happens, I would call it extremely corny, but it is.
So I watched a YouTube video on this play of the game today. Where they're interviewing the actual players and Rudy and like the guy, the D tackle that's to the right of him. Apparently he's like, I'm going to do a spin move. I'm going to turn inside. They're going to double team me. If the quarterback comes your way, he's yours. And Rudy was like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm going to do this move. I'm going to
take two guys.
and then they both get the sack. It's a double sack. The guy that does a spin move gets the quarterback and Rudy. And like, the dude's like, I don't ever get fucking told that I got the sack. And he's like laughing about it. But he's like, I got a sack. I was there too. You know,
I think for everything, and
also they tackled the quarterback after the clock was done, and the Georgia Tech quarterback was pissed.
So like, he didn't get a sack.
He did, like, snap the ball, and like the Georgia Tech quarterback was like, "Why are you tackling me? This is the last play of the game. Don't be a dick."
Well, so the clock wasn't out then.
Yes, no. Like they snapped it before the clock ran out. That was the last play of the game.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so for everything, I think part of it is the fact that the sack did happen.
Yeah.
Although I have not read any more into it because I think it's – I already know enough that it's not – the movie portrayal is not real, so I don't need to know the rest of the things as to how unreal the movie is. But the fact that he did get in and did record a sack and the very end of the movie and the way that they do all that, even after like it goes from part where I'm like, this is corny as shit to him going in the game and that happening, it was still very well done and still like, I don't know, like emotional or like tugs at your heartstrings a little bit or whatever.
And he did get carried off. That is true.
Yes. No, I know that's true.
And let's talk about Joe Montana being a petty little bitch. So Joe Montana, who was, we're going to find out. We're going to let you guys judge. He was a freshman quarterback on the team.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that got hurt so Rudy could have the spot. He's the one that was injured. That spot opened up for Rudy in that last game, if you believe Joe Montana. He then goes on to say that no one, so like he got injured, the spot opened up on the sixth. You can Google this shit. I'm not making it up.
No. Go ahead. So finish it.
So Joe Montana got hurt before the last game, so he could not play the last game as a freshman quarterback backup. So that's the spot that opened up on the 60-man roster for Rudy to be on the team. Like, whatever, he took his spot.
Well, or you can say that the coach put Rudy on the team instead of somebody else that would
have been supposed to play. This is Joe Montana's story, not the real story. He then goes on to say that no one chanted Rudy's name, and the people that carried him off the field were noted jackasses who were just fucking with Rudy, and they're just pranksters, and you should not take this shit seriously. And I was going to be like, Joe Montana, how about you just shut the fuck up and let's enjoy a fucking story? Like, you're Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowls, where the fuck you have. You don't mean to be on some random podcast in the 90s shitting on Rudy because your ego's hurt for some fucking reason? What's the point of that, him talking like
that? Well, there's more than just that one time that Montana's talked about it, and there's more than just Joe Montana that's talked about how unreal some of that stuff was.
Well, he's just saying, like, he got carried off as a
joke. Yeah. Well, and that's where, so I don't know if it's maybe hearing mainly from repeating of the Montana story. I feel like there were some story, and again, maybe it was just people echoing the same story, but it felt like there were some stories at one point where people were kind of backing that a little bit, that were around it and were just like, yeah, like there were some people who were just kind of dicks to him, like, we're doing the sort of the laughing at, not laughing with sort of scenario, right? But like, so yeah, and that's where I guess you gotta find what you want to believe in that, because obviously none of us were there. We weren't a part of those teams. And it is, I agree with you, like, you're fucking Joe Montana, man. There's statues of you. Like, you don't really have to, like,
punch down.
You don't have to entertain those kind of questions and stories. And I was looking up that, like, some of the stuff of Montana's quotes about it, but even there's been interviews with Sean Astin even after he said those things, where Sean Astin even said, he's like, yeah, obviously, like, a lot of this actual story is, you know, fiction, or a lot of the movie is fiction. Like, the story's real, but the movie's fiction. He even said, like, early on, like, when they were making it, Joe Montana was actually one of the big backers of the film. So, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just because it's Joe Montana is maybe just one of the biggest, maybe the biggest name. I obviously haven't looked at the rosters, but, like, that was on that team at the time. So people want to talk to him about it. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know
how you get a whole lot bigger than Joe Montana. But
I do not disagree with the sentiment of, I don't know why Joe Montana has felt the need to say the things in the way that he said things about the story. But also, like, he's probably not just, like, blowing the movie up just to blow the movie up. I don't know. Like,
and that's the thing. Like,
it's a good story. Like,
I don't know what,
like you said, Joe Montana's Joe Montana and did what he did. So what, like,
yeah. And that's, I don't know what
would it be his motivation,
but I think they're all within, you know, the last 10-ish years or so, maybe a little before, but, like, at that point, the idea of Rudy in the movie has been, a few interviews with Joe Montana wasn't ever going to tank the legacy of Rudy in the movie and shit like that. So
this movie is cheesy, and I understand why people have fun punching at it, Tez. And that's fine. It's just a cheesy fucking movie. You know, like,
I do have a hard time with, if you took this movie and removed the Notre Dame label and the,
which
everything that goes along with it being Notre Dame, which is a lot of things that we don't need to get into in this podcast, I would probably enjoy this movie a lot more, but I don't really enjoy Notre Dame and all the things that go along with Notre Dame, along with the embellishment that is attached Steven, to the story.
If Steven Spielberg did this 20 years later, he would he'd remove those pedo-ass priests, like he removed those walking guns with walkie-talkies. It's a big walkie-talkie standing next to Rudy.
It's
7-foot walkie-talkie.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there, Jake. Just as far as like, if you do it, like if it's a movie and it's made, you know, if it's a movie that doesn't have rights to the schools, if it's like The Program or it's like The Water Boy, where it's just made up Iowa schools, like, yeah, I probably enjoy it a little bit more. Like I said, I know for a fact there's a good chunk of my disdain for this movie that it's all about Notre Dame and the pageantry that is Notre Dame and how.
So what you're saying is you're not going to go with me to South Bend for Boise State when they play Notre Dame next October.
I mean, I'll go. I'm going to be decked out in Boise State gear.
I mean, so am I.
Let's go. I don't know. I don't know if that's a good idea.
Those Catholics, the only part.
I would not. I don't think I would hold up well spending an evening in South Bend.
Nope.
I could maybe get through a football game. I don't think I could get through a night at a bar.
You should try to explain to someone that doesn't know sports that there is a painting of Jesus Christ with his arms raised that's called Touchdown Jesus.
That I'm, you know, they made sure to get in the movie. Good for them.
Numerous times. I just replied with, yes, sports fandom is weird.
Yeah, it's cult level shit. For sure.
Some of them more than others.
Yeah.
As Iowa State fans, we're not like that. We're the classy bunch.
Yeah. Yes, very well-mannered, straight-laced group of individuals.
No weird things or people involved in our fandom at all.
All right. Any last thoughts? I think we hit most of the questions. Also, I still think Jon Favreau in the crowd, I enjoy as a gift more than fortune clapping. I feel like, all right, real quick. I have one last question. Fortune clapping gif. Is that on the Mount Rushmore of like clapping gifs? Of like reaction gifs of like.
It's up there. Man.
Yeah, I feel like I see it used quite a bit by a decent variety of people. Like it's not just, I don't know, some gif that Ted uses all the time.
I do like J-Bo.
You do D-Bob.
D-Bob! God damn it, like D-Lo Brown.
Holy shit, man.
I haven't got right this entire podcast. I haven't got right
once. No, you haven't. You and Bevos.
Bevos and J-Bo.
Fucking Longhorn.
Longhorn runs Amazon. Eat the rich. And cows. Yes. One might chewier than the other. One might be chewier than the other one. Anyways, yeah, I like.
Anyway, sorry, what?
Jesus Christ. A lot less guilty than the cow. anyways, I like Favreau in the crowd cheering. I feel like that one's underused. For like a reaction gif, obviously, fortune clapping is like top 5% of all time gif. 10%.
Yeah, it's up there for sure. And I think that is one that definitely probably goes towards the top of like ones that people use that they don't know where it's from.
Oh, I mean, Jake didn't know where it was from.
Right.
And Jake didn't know where it was from. Where'd you think it was from?
I was just thinking a little bit ago and you guys were talking, so I didn't like say it, but I wish I could go back to before he showed up in the tunnel or whatever, when he had the outfit on. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, well, that's going to happen. And you could have asked me where I thought that was from, because I don't know what I would have said, but it was definitely not Rudy. Because I had no fucking idea.
Wasn't The Martian?
It is full on. It's a dude standing. There's no context to it. Like when you see the shot of him is not backed by
it's
a
focused on
stadium.
Him. There's
like,
no detail.
It also
even in the
helps,
blur behind him. There's nothing.
It also helps as us three being extremely online that the GIF is normally like a pretty good quality GIF. Like it's an HD GIF. Yeah. Like it's not a fuzzy GIF. It's one that like even on desktop or your phone, it's not fuzzy. It's
no,
a good
if there was any like contextual like clues or detail in the background or anything, like you would see it on the GIFs that are posted.
So, But yeah, it's a good movie.
I think it's a good movie. Sean's it is a good movie.
I am a certified hater. You could mark me down.
Tempted to just make Tez and I watch something random on Jake's over in Europe and just not tell him until it gets posted.
My only other note from the whole thing.
You can do as you please.
Like, what the hell is this shit? They watched Leprechaun? What the fuck?
My only other note from the whole thing was that one of the things I certainly did not remember was that Rudy was on the Brandon Whedon timeline of playing college football and was 28 years old when all of this happened.
According to real life, he went to the Navy for 4 years, which makes a lot more sense than fucking an iron mill.
And watching his buddy get blown up.
I mean, that's how his buddy died. He fucked an iron mill and he lost.
There wasn't enough pressure.
I mean, I don't think you need to know this beforehand, but don't stick your dick in hot lava. Won't come back.
Print the shirts.
Did you learn that from Anakin Skywalker or what?
Matt, I probably had sex beforehand. Anyways, till next time, Jake Voss, Sean Tez, we're going to leave you on that. Don't stick your dick in hot metal. As Uncle Ted says, but just point if you're not out there having sex, drugs, and rock and roll, live it up. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.